This program is intended for mature audiences only.
Welcome to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. I'm your host, Francesca Gentile, and with me today is Philip Jungkook. Philip has two masters. He's an amazing man, a genius in his own right, who brings out the genius in each of us. He's collaborated with best-selling authors and relationship experts, Gay and Kathleen Hendricks and Margot Anon, co-authoring such books and CDs and online programs as The Path of Skydancing Tantra and Awaken Your Senses CD with Margot Anon, and The Power of Integrity, the book Already Home, and The Book of Life with Gay Hendricks, and Sex, Money, and Spirit CD with Kathleen Hendricks. He also has online courses, tantraathome.com, and The Genius Course. One of his geniuses is in completing projects, helping us develop legacies, and I'm guessing as well to helping us complete our relationships beautifully. And today we're going to be talking about something that he's developed, which is the 1 minute to orgasmic power information. And that's especially for our listeners who love the soul of sacred sexuality.
If you come up to me and focused on really what you wanted in terms of orgasmic power, I could be there, be present with you, and magic would happen in 1 minute. Now, sometimes it took a minute and a half or 2 minutes. I have to admit that it didn't quite just last a minute. But for the most part, we were able to, in a minute, tune into what the key thing is for each person that they need to unlock their orgasmic power. Stretching was something that I didn't like doing as a kid growing up, and I was, you know, quite athletic. But this new practice that Tantra allowed me to do with a partner was such a wonderful way to bring flexibility into my life. And in my book, The Path of Skydancing Tantra, it has some of the stretches, and then I actually teach some workshops that include some additional stretches that I found particularly useful. Independent functions called ejaculation and called orgasm. They're not the same thing. Now, I grew up and most of my experience for much of my early adult life was that they were the same, that when I had orgasm was the same that I had ejaculation. But they're two completely different physiological functions. When I'm attracted, I'm admiring something, or really there's the power out there that I'm attracted to. I take that on. It's sort of like I can close my eyes. I can sort of eat that inside of me, digest it, take it down to my toes, and realize that that's a power that's inside of me that's being reflected outside of me.
You are a genius. So how does your genius fill in with this 1 minute to orgasmic power?
Well, thank you, Francesca. I appreciate you having me on your show, and I want to appreciate your genius around interviewing and what I've heard of many great comments on what you do. So I want to appreciate you and appreciate my teachers and those that have gone before me. And the 1 minute to orgasm happened sort of by surprise when I was doing a presentation in Venezuela on Margarita Island to a group of about 180 people. And while I was there doing a presentation on stretching, which is one of my favorite tantric practices to do, I noticed that a lot of people had questions and wanted to ask me about their lives and how Tantra might fit into their lives. And I realized that time was short, and for 180 people, I didn't see how I would be able to reach everybody. So I set an intention one day that I would, in 1 minute, if you could give me 1 minute of your time, I would help you reach your orgasmic power. And so when I made that statement, then, and I said I would be available at lunchtime, I would be available at the pool. If you come up to me and focused on really what you wanted in terms of orgasmic power, I could be there, be present with you, and magic would happen in 1 minute. Now, sometimes it took a minute and a half or 2 minutes. I have to admit that it didn't quite just last a minute. But for the most part, we were able to, in a minute, tune into what the key thing is for each person that they need to unlock their orgasmic power.
That's so delicious, and I'm so excited that we have 30 minutes. Wow, where are we going to be at the end of this show with unlocking the orgasmic power? And before we go forward into what some of those keys and tips that you were that were coming forward as people were standing in front of you, I wanted to not skip over that you mentioned stretching as one of your favorite tantric practices. And do you mean emotionally stretching, physically stretching, sensually stretching? Which kind of stretching are we talking about?
Well, it can be financially stretching. It could also be. And I think that we all stretch in different ways, and we're being asked in the world today to really stretch our belief systems, stretch our imaginations. So I think it can be a metaphor for, you know, a lot of things. But specifically, my first tantric experience was really creating a safe space with a partner, and then in that space, allowing soft music in the background allow us to do a type of stretching that allows each person to flow in both a yin and a yang, a giving and receiving. Yin is receiving, yang is giving, and being in a place where we would stretch our bodies and just allow our body wisdom to sort of take over. And I've developed it over the years to this wonderful practice that I can do even with friends. Daughters can do it with their mothers. Anybody can do it fully clothed, and it's a wonderful way to stretch our bodies. And since I'm typically had real tight hamstrings, the backs of my legs and my shoulders and chest, I carried a lot of body armoring, that stretching was something that I didn't like doing as a kid growing up, and I was, you know, quite athletic. But this new practice that Tantra allowed me to do with a partner was such a wonderful way to bring flexibility into my life. And in my book, The Path of Skydancing Tantra, it has some of the stretches, and then I actually teach some workshops that include some additional stretches that I found particularly useful.
Let's, you know, before we go further, what could be, so what I just want to make sure that I'm getting clear and that our listening audience is clear, that by tantric stretching, what versus just regular, you know, sitting on the floor and, you know, reaching for your toes or standing up and reaching for the ceiling, that when I'm doing tantric stretching or when we're doing tantric stretching, we're actually stretching with, like, maybe pulling against, you know, holding hands and, like, maybe pulling backwards and forwards while sitting on the floor with a partner. Can you give us, like, an example or maybe one thing to do at home with a friend or with a beloved that would be an example of what you mean by tantric stretching?
Yeah, that's great, Francesca. Great question. One could be, which is one of my, I call it joint massage. And as one person lies down on their back, and this could be done on the living room floor, could be done on a sofa, but it's usually better to be on a flat surface. And the other person plays with the toes, for example, starts at the toes and kind of moves each toe a little bit and wiggles it and massages it while the person lying down relaxes and just absorbs and notices tension just releasing in their body. And as the person that's doing the massaging or the joint massage will go to every single joint of the toe, and then every part of the foot. There's so many joints in the foot. And then the ankle, and moving the ankle around, moving up to the knee, and then the hip. And as the person, and not to go fast, I'm talking about this fast, but usually, you know, doing 15 minutes through the whole body system of my partner, allowing them to relax as I play with each of the joints. Because the synovial fluid that flows through the joints is what brings aliveness and life force into our body. But when that's not flowing in our bodies, then we don't have that experience of space and fluidity. So laying down, one person, and I even do this with groups of four, where one person lies down, and if it's a party or something, then the other three people get, one person starts at one foot, the other person at the foot, and another person at the head, and every joint of the body is gently massaged. And that's sort of the first practice that gets into the stretching. And does that help?
You know, that really helps a lot. And some of the principles that I heard you speaking about, some of the, you know, tantric sacred sexuality principles, are the slowness, the consciousness, the focus, and that the person who's the provider is bringing this consciousness, this focus, and this slowness to each joint that they're manipulating and working with. And that's the yang. And then the yin, the receiver, their role is to just keep breathing and deepening into receiving this focus, this intention, and into this relaxation and fluidity in their body. And this is, I love this. This is such a good prelude to that, you know, 1 minute to orgasmic power, because without that sense of relaxation, we are armored, we are blocked, and we can't really access this, the beautiful energy in our body. And I want to talk more about that when we come back from a break, and a word from our fabulous and delicious sponsors, who are particularly picked for our listening audiences. And anytime you use them, please type in the word Tantra, T-A-N-T-R-A, and you'll receive discounts and gifts. So we'll come back from a word from our sponsors.
Listen to On the Minds of Men, Uncensored Sex Talk with Dr. Lori, a weekly audio program bringing the best in sex therapy to your life on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex, Tantra, and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex. We're talking to Philip John Cock, who has a wonderful background collaborating and learning and training and teaching with Gay and Kathleen Hendricks, Margot Anand, wonderful books, his own programs. And we had started out by talking about the 1 minute to orgasmic power. And you were saying how you were at this conference in Venezuela, 180 people. You were going to give as many as you could, 1 minute. And, you know, I'm imagining at breaks and lunches, there were people lined up in front of you. Was there any commonality that you started to see with men, and what blocked them and what would give them orgasmic power, and any commonalities with women that you would see with what blocked them and what would give, and then what you could give to them that would give them orgasmic power?
Right. I was, first I was amazed at how many people were interested. I knew that people would be interested, but I didn't realize how many would be interested. And as they came forward, and some of the patterns that I noticed, like, for example, with women, they were basically power. If you think about power from a place of like a generator of power, and the body system generates its own power. And so for women, I noticed that one of the things that they would increase their orgasmic power was if they became the source and the generator of their own safety. And while that may sound like a simple thing, A lot of the women didn't really give themselves permission to really generate their safety for themselves and that relaxation that you talked about. The second thing was that they didn't realize that they were also the generators of their own pleasure, that they were responsible for their pleasure, and instead of realizing that it was their partner's responsibility for their pleasure. So when they owned their pleasure, when they generated their safety, those were like the two things that really kick-started and increased their orgasmic power. Now, that's for the women. Now, for the men...
So before we go into the men, and
sure,
I want to go into the men, so delicious. let's... You all are so adorable, and you come with all the right parts. It's so great, and for us heterosexual women, and but as a woman, I want to make sure to not skip over maybe something specific. So, if I and our listening audience of women want to generate our own safety, what is even one tip that could, you know, or a question that we could put in our minds that would help us shift from putting all the pressure on you guys, you know, you have to be the better guesser, you have to do everything, to actually owning and generating some of our own? So what's something about generating our own safety and then something about generating our own pleasure?
The first thing for safety is if you ask yourself on a regular basis, in this moment, what do I need to say or do to feel safe? In this moment, what do I need to say or do to feel safe?
That's so awesome. Let me just say that's so, so wonderful. It's such a simple question that I think so many of us women never ask. And, you know, and wow, whole doors. I mean, my mind is just opening up as you say that. Go ahead.
Okay. The second one related to sexual pleasure is to say, I'm willing to celebrate my sexual expression and delight. I'm willing to celebrate my sexual expression and delight. And then also that I create time to cultivate pleasure in my life. I create time to cultivate pleasure in my life. Now, do you need any more explanation on those? Or
just with that one, what I heard in that, and I just want to check in, is when you said pleasure in my life, the kind of opening that came in my mind was, oh, wait, if I'm, you know, not having pleasure in my life, I'm not enjoying the food that I eat, I'm not enjoying the way that my home is decorated, I'm not enjoying the sensuality of my clothes, and now I'm in bed with you, my senses are going to be very closed down. And there's a lot of, once again, extra pressure on both of us to, you know, get me from a very cold state, when you think of it, to a hot state, versus if I am loving the silks and velvets and cottons or whatever that I love, that I put on my body, and I'm enjoying the colors around me that I decorate with, and the food that I eat is just, I love that. Now when I'm getting into bed with you, you know, with the divine beloved, whoever that may be, then I'm already awake. You know, I'm not starting from this closed place. Is that what you also meant when you said the pleasure in life?
Right. Yes, and also the celebration aspect of it is when you notice the pleasure, to celebrate it, to make that a priority, because if in the past, and maybe as children, when we would celebrate our pleasure, we might get shamed for it, or we might get our hands slapped, or we might, you know, something may happen from the authority figures around us because that may have threatened them, or it may have created some, you know, some tension there. But by celebrating, and it's almost like every little woo, you know, a little spark that comes up, to celebrate that, I mean, that is a big turn-on as a male when I see that happening in a woman, when she celebrates her pleasure.
That sounds so healthy.
and natural and normal.
And natural. And, you know, just a little tip for our men as well is to, I will say as a woman, is I love when my beloved encourages me to celebrate the sensual in my life. And if I want to buy yet another silk scarf or something that, you know, that really delights me, that gives me that little sense of, oh, I love that color. I love that flavor. I love that thing. Is one time he asked me, honey, don't you ever have enough, you know, jewelry? And I said, and I looked at him and I said, are you kidding? You know, of course I never have enough, because it's a sensual delight for me. And I think everyone has that arena, whatever it is. For some people, it's food or music or, you know, clothes or, you know, it could be anything. But it's that arena that gives us a delight when we partake of it and when we obtain it. And I would say, male or female, we want to encourage that, support that in our beloved, to have those pathways to celebrate the sensual in their life.
Right. And it, like I said, it's a turn-on for me, and I know most men delight, and when sensual as well as sexual pleasure happening, it's such an amazing gift to be a witness to.
And I want to come back to our men, our delicious men. After a break and a word from our sponsors, I want to kind of go into a break a little bit earlier so we have time to really delve into our wonderful men. And we'll be right back.
Listen to Sex, Love, and Intimacy, a podcast providing weekly audio workshops for your pleasure and connection on personallifemedia.com.
Welcome back to Sex Tantra and Kama Sutra, bringing you the soul of sex, talking with Philip Johncock. And we had just covered our women to some degree, but now we're going to go deeper into our men and what brings them that 1 minute to orgasmic power, what blocks them, what opens them up.
Okay. For the men, what I noticed that, first of all, again, the ones that came forward were incredibly courageous. And so curiosity, I was so appreciating how curious the men were, because when I grew up, the men were curious, perhaps, but not about around sexuality and sensuality, and a lot of it was sort of hidden and not talked about or taboo, or maybe talked in the locker rooms around conquests. And, you know, so I wasn't, the curiosity piece for me wasn't part of my upbringing, but I was so appreciating the men coming forward who were curious. And the first thing that I noticed around what they can generate their power, orgasmic power, is by grasping this concept. And this one sort of took me by surprise. So for many men, they don't really grasp this. But when I grasped it, it really skyrocketed my orgasmic power. And that is that they're two completely separate, independent functions called ejaculation and called orgasm. They're not the same thing. Now, I grew up and most of my experience for much of my early adult life was that they were the same, that when I had orgasm, it was the same that I had ejaculation. But they're two completely different physiological functions. And when I learned that, and when I learned to separate the two, then my orgasmic power just took off. And I had an example where I was starting to have orgasms in different parts of my body. Now, orgasm comes from the word, organ comes from the same root as orgasm. So all of our organs in our body have orgasmic potential. There was a guy at a workshop one time, I heard him like yelling in pleasure, screaming in pleasure, and later I asked him, you know, well, what was that happened? He says, I had this most incredible orgasm in my big toe. And it was just absolutely amazing. And so I've experienced that as well, where I begin to explore orgasmic ripples in my body. And Skydancing Tantra talks about the orgasmic reflex and uses a lot of the work of William Reich, bioenergetics, and it focuses on the orgasmic ripples that happen in the body and learning techniques to spread those ripples. And when those ripples happen, and learning to spread the pleasure throughout my body, it's not just a localized experience. Orgasm is not a localized experience to just the genitals. And that's, you know, there are books out there, The Multi-Orgasmic Male and so forth. So the first thing for men was to separate orgasm from ejaculation. The second thing that I noticed was when they honored the divinity within themselves, and they honored the divinity, the goddess within themselves, that was a key to increasing their orgasmic power. They began not to rely on a feminine energy necessarily outside themselves for their orgasmic power, that they could tune in, go within, honor their divinity within, honor the goddess within, and then they could begin to honor the divinity in another person. So the phrase that I often like to use in my workshops, I got from this greeting card that said, Namaste, is I honor the place within you where the entire universe resides. I honor the place within you that is of love, of light, of peace. I honor the place within you that when you are in that place within you and I am in that place within me, there is only one.
That is really beautiful. That is really beautiful. And that has also been my experience, is that the initial desire, you know, as a teenager, you know, as someone growing up in the world, is to say, if I can only get that person that I perceive as having some sort of prestige or power, whether it's the power of attraction or money or vitality, if I can get that person into my life or to like me, then somehow I will be okay, I will be enough, the emptiness or the needs inside me will be fulfilled by the other. And it's just like, you know, the image of the little donkey with the stick in front of him where the carrot's in front and you're always running and the donkey never catches up with the carrot. It's like there's something always outside and I never catch up with it even if I get it. And that it was challenging to be willing to turn inside. I think I was angry. I didn't want to turn inside. I wanted someone else to save me. But when I turned inside and really started, you know, working with that, you know, in, for a woman, you know, owning, like you said, owning the pleasure, owning the safety. For a man, you know, allowing this spread of orgasm and this courageous curiosity about themselves and others, and this the willingness to experience their own divinity and the divinity in another through the portal of the divinity within. That's when my relationships just transformed. You know, went from drama and tragedy to, like, you know, the bliss and union. But it came from that portal within. Thank you for saying that, and for saying that as a man.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. And you mentioned, Francesca, about seeing some, noticing a quality in another person, being attracted, especially to a feminine, you know, power, feminine power. And in book that I wrote, you didn't mention, called The Power of Receiving, which was one of my favorite books. Talks about the concept of friendly cannibalism.
What in the name is that?
and it's a Buddhist practice, and it actually is looking at the projection. And when I'm attracted to something outside of myself, when I'm attracted, I'm admiring something, or really there's power out there that I'm attracted to. I take that on. It's sort of like I can close my eyes. I can sort of eat that inside of me, digest it, take it down to my toes, and realize that that's a power that's inside of me that's being reflected outside of me. But it's a power that's actually inside of me that I just don't recognize right now, that I'm a generator of that. Somebody else is generating that.
So an example would be if I'm listening to you and I think, you know, Philip is so, you know, he's so wise, he's so smart, he's so insightful about sexuality that I could just breathe that in and really take that into my own body and say, and really embrace and look for the pieces of myself where I am that.
Yeah.
And or I have a longing to follow that pathway. If I'm so attracted to it in you, then that's a sign to me that a part of my soul wants to develop that in me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Your wisdom within the wise part of, you know, your body wisdom. Yeah, all of those qualities, take them, and instead of running from them, or I don't know what people might be doing, you know, when they see that, but you know, taking that on and trying it on and saying, you know, hey, I have that, I just don't know it right now, I'm just not aware of it, but I too have that because I am a human being, I have this experience here, and in this tantric resonance, the tantric field, I have access to all those disparate parts of myself that are spread out. And that's what Tantra really, to me, I love the meaning of Tantra as the weaving of disparate, the integration of disparate parts of myself into an integrated whole.
So that the weaving of these separate pieces, sometimes disowned pieces of ourselves, into a harmonious and unified whole. And when you say that, I really feel this sense that as each of us does that, as we uncover, recover, discover, and integrate these pieces of ourselves, that we will have more compassion, more generosity, more harmony and peace to bring back out into the world for others.
Mm-hmm. And also more union, more feeling of connection rather than feeling separate.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that as I feel separate from the pieces of me, then I'm going to be separate from you.
That's the tantric teaching.
Mm. Yum. Well, you know, Philip, I could go on talking. I have other questions in my mind, but we've run out of our half an hour already. And if people want to find out more about Philip, his websites, his pictures, his book, links to his books, are at www.personallifemedia.com. That's www.personallifemedia.com. And thank you so much for joining us today, Philip.
Oh, thank you, Francesca. I appreciate your humor, and thank you for laughing.
And thank you, our listening audience, for being people who are committed to bringing the soul of sex.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.